It's Wednesday, March 23rd. This week on The Shaughnessy, How to Succeed in Evil, Part 4. For more information and liner notes, visit goodwordsrightorder.com. To be sure, the Chromaglodon was an unstoppable machine of biomorphic destruction, but he wasn't, strictly speaking, a force of nature. He did need to sleep. So at the tail end of his rampage, when he got tired, he simply knocked a warm-looking building over on top of himself and closed his eyes. It was cold work that night for the firemen and rescue crews, but by 3 o'clock the fires were all out and it had begun to snow. A soft bandage of white settled over the destruction. Several people were missing, but since all of the buildings had been evacuated at the first sign of the Chromaglodon's rampage, it was generally believed that Edwin's secretary, Edna, had been the only casualty. By first light, the water temperature in the harbor was 43 degrees. Less than ideal, but Edwin hoped it would be cold enough. He did not hope overly hard. The Chromaglodon woke early and hungry after a hard night's work. He shrugged off the rubble with a tremendous yawn and went in search of a diner or a grocery store to eat. As he stumbled out onto an empty street, he was puzzled, for he was used to waking up to crowds of people screaming and running away from him. The first rocket caught him in the ear.
"Take that, you son of a bitch!"
Topper yelled. He disappeared around the corner as fast as his short legs would carry him. The Chromaglodon was more interested than annoyed. Hey, it was just a rocket. And began to follow Topper. That's when the second volley of rockets took the brute off his feet.
"You black-headed bastard!"
Topper taunted him from the next corner. Still more curious than upset, the Chromaglodon picked himself up and lumbered on. But when he hit the landmines, that's when he got angry. You see, as tough as he was, the Chromaglodon had very sensitive feet.
"Oh, shit!"
Topper leapt into a waiting car and sped towards the waterfront. The car was fast enough to save the diminutive lawyer's ass, but not fast enough to come through unscathed. The Chromaglodon's massive hand ripped off part of the bumper and half the trunk. Topper gave her all she was worth, heedless of red lights, medians, newspaper boxes. He barreled down a pier and into a decrepit warehouse at the end, his foot never leaving the accelerator. In the midst of his chase, the Chromaglodon saw Topper tear through the back wall of the warehouse and splash down in the harbor beyond. The Chromaglodon did not follow. The Chromaglodon could not swim. It was not a matter of learning. His incredibly tough structure was simply too dense to allow for buoyancy. Later, when Edwin would tell the story, he would say he saw a particular look of puzzlement on the Chromaglodon's face right before he triggered the radio detonator. The warehouse and the Chromaglodon exploded and sank to the bottom of the harbor. The Chromaglodon didn't sink like a stone. Stones don't struggle. Stones don't have lungs that burn for air. Even the Chromaglodon was smart enough to realize that he was going to die. Fear, the true gut-wrenching, bowel-loosening fear of death, was something that the invulnerable Chromaglodon had not been forced to consider. But as he clawed in vain against the swirling darkness of the harbor, the certainty of death sank its reptilian teeth into the Chromaglodon's brainstem. He sucked salt water and drowned. From the deck of a powerful motor yacht far out in the harbor, Edwin allowed himself a brief smile and turned his attention to the radio. As the first dive team came alongside with a soaked and shivering Topper, Edwin checked on B-Team's status.
B-Team, report.
"Sir, I think we've got him. If not, I'd hate to know what else is stirring up all this muck. I'm moving in."
"Negative, B-Team. Wait until favorable visibility conditions."
"Sir, whatever else he is, he's drowning and soon to die."
"That's the general idea. Retrieve when clear."
"Roger that. Holding."
"Holy Jesus, was that fun!"
Edwin looked up from the radio. He did not understand his friend's thrill-seeking behavior, but he was glad to see him happy.
"I'm glad you enjoyed your role.
If I had known being a villain was this much fun, I never would have gone to law school. I still think you should let that bastard suck water and drown, by the way.
Yes, I will take your bloodthirst under advisement. You did beautifully, by the way.
Do you really think so? My aim was a little off with some of the rockets. I'll get it better next time.
Edwin didn't bother to explain that there would be no next time. A plan that relied on the extraordinary acts of one person was not a good plan. Edwin was a little ashamed that he couldn't have come up with something better. Edwin desired that all his machinations be inexorable rather than spectacular. He did not mean to seize glory, but rather to crush it out of circumstance, as an anaconda kills its prey.
18 hours later, the Chromoglodon was thawing on a slab. His head was circumnavigated by a crown of fresh stitches, and his ankles were attached to high-tension power lines. From Edwin's viewpoint, the stitches made him look like a baseball. Of course, there were neater ways to place implants into a person's brain, but Edwin hadn't captured the beast for his looks, and he had little trouble convincing the surgeon that speed was more important than aesthetics. Edwin considered the control panel in front of him. One switch would activate the automatic defibrillator, which would tickle the Chromoglodon's heart and bring him back to the world of the living. The other switch would shunt half the city's power directly into the Chromoglodon's body, killing him. This switch was only to be used if the electrodes planted in the Chromoglodon's brain had proved to be ineffective. But for a moment, Edwin couldn't decide which switch to flip. Of course, it would be wasteful to destroy such a powerful creature. But Edwin's hand still wavered as his demons wrestled with his better angels. In the end, the demons won, and Edwin closed the switch that would bring the Chromoglodon back to life. As the beast's eyes fluttered and his vital signs gained strength, Topper climbed up on his chest and slapped the Chromoglodon across the face.
Rise and shine!
The Chromoglodon awoke with a start. As he lunged for Topper, Edwin calmly activated one of the electrodes in the Chromoglodon's brain. The surgeon had argued for implanting electrodes in the pain centers of the Chromoglodon's brain, but Edwin thought differently. And rightly so. Brute that he was, the Chromoglodon was relatively immune to pain. But fear was something little known to him, and as such, something he was unequipped to deal with. Tears streamed down his rugged face, and he attempted, pathetically, to curl up under a table that was half his size. And that is how Edwin gained control of the most powerful being on Earth.